Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. Read the 15th through the 20th verses. Sermon title is You Decide. You Decide. Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, starting with the 15th verse. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, and that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passeth over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. They have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, and thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware and to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. All through life, choices are made. All through life. Can't get away from choices. You have little choices you make. You made choices on whether to get up this morning, come to church, or stay home. That's a choice. I mean, there might be a lot of factors involved in that choice, but you still made a choice. Little decisions. Later on today, you're going to make up your mind about where you're going to eat at. Some of you will do like Ruth and I do and sit in the parking lot, and I refuse to go anywhere till I know where I'm going. And sometimes she'll say, it's your turn to choose, Gerald. This never happens to anybody I know except me. She'll say, Gerald, it's your turn to choose. I'll say, okay, we'll go. And I'll say, oh, no, I don't want to go there. I thought it was my choice. But I guess it really isn't. It's only my choice if she agrees with it. You all do that stuff. Don't tell me you don't. I know you do, you know. Any of you guys ever pull off the side of the road to wait? Yeah. Pull off. Okay, I'm pulling off. We're going to wait until you make up your mind. There's no use me wasting gas, all that. There will never be a time in your life where decisions are not needed. You will make all kinds of decisions. Made decisions on which way to drive to church. You could have turned off one road or another. By the way, even those little decisions can have massive impact upon your life. Ruth and I, many years ago, I dropped a friend off to pick his car up, and Ruth and the kids were in the car with me, and I missed the turn that I normally took to go home. I was talking or something, and went to the next street and decided I'd turn there, and a guy ran a light and broadsided us. Broke 7 of Ruth's ribs and her collarbone. I always told her that, and still do, that if she'd been sitting closer to me, that wouldn't have happened to her. You make decisions in everything you do. By the end of this worship time, you will make a decision about whether you'll serve God or not. Excuse me. You'll not make any greater decision today, or maybe in all of eternity, than the decision you make after this service or even during it. That decision will impact everything about your life. That one decision could impact who you marry. It should impact who you marry. Where you live, what your life work will be, how you raise your children, and even where you'll be in eternity. One thing's certain, and that is whether you want to or not, you will decide what kind of impact God will have upon your life. That will be the decision you make. Now, even if you got up right at this moment and left, it's too late. That would be a decision. Read a book, and the author was talking about decisions. Excuse me. And he was talking about how we live in a choice-driven society. And this book was written a few years back, so some of the numbers will be off. But at that time, he said, did you know that when you walk in and buy Kleenexes, there's 20 different kinds? There's 40 different varieties of Tylenol. And there's over 700 different makes and models of cars in the U.S. alone. More than ever before, an ever-increasing percentage of our time is spent on choosing between various options that we have with any decision that we make. The author went on, he said, I like having choices, but I'm uneasy over the way people are creating for themselves a choice morality, pulling down values like we pull items down from a supermarket shelf. I'm anxious about the way people are falling head over and heels in love with a do-it-yourself deity, which they have crafted in their own image. He continues, he says, in the same way, I'm concerned about the way many Christians pinball around from church to church, looking for the one that will ring their bells and toot their whistles, and then leaving it the first time it yanks their chains. He said, as important as choice is, it must not become a belief system or a religion in itself. He said, the last time I read the Bible, it did not say in there abides faith, hope, love, and choice. But the greatest of these is choice. So the purpose of life is not to make choices. The purpose of life is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. But that is accomplished through our choices. Now you decide today what you will do. But remember, the decision you make is not a glib decision. It's not a decision like about whether you'll have chicken or ham for dinner. But this is a choice about whether you will love God or not. I would say to you that you need to decide what you will be. When Israel was standing there that day, Moses brought them to a place of decision in his discussion with them. And he reminded them that their decision was actually not about whether they were going to live in the target, in the promised land or not, but it was whether they were going to be people of God or not. They were going to decide about what he called life and good and death and evil. Now, I know that in our society, we hate to point a finger and say someone or something is evil. But note this, that the scriptures have no hesitation about it. They recognize good and evil. We live in a society that wants to say everything is good and nothing is evil. And the truth is, that is a falsehood developed right from the very mind of the devil. Because, you see, you make up your minds about good and evil. You decide what you will do and how you will live and how you will treat people and what you will do in their lives and what you will do in your own life. Did you know that when we were reading through the reading there in Deuteronomy,
that he said that you will make decisions about your life and the lives of your children. All mothers and fathers, grandparents, never, never forget this truth. Your lifestyle will have massive impact upon your children. You say, but they don't do what I want them to do. Well, get used to life. They won't do what you want to do them to do all the time. Some of them just have to figure out that you were smarter than they thought. And some of them will be so hard-headed about it that they will make some terrible, terrible mistakes. But you ought to pray that they will not be eternal mistakes. And you ought to live in a manner where they cannot point their finger at you and say, you did that. You lived that way. You talked like that. You treated the kids like that. You did that. Friend, your choices will impact you and them. Most of us probably grasp the reality that the new birth, where Christianity is concerned, the new birth is a divine action. We understand that. We understand that according to the writer John, in John 1, 12 and 13, he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. See, a divine action of God brings a new birth, but there is a decision made by you on whether that new birth will take place in you. Oh, yeah. The Bible tells us that we are to repent, confess. We are to come to God and recognize that we must have Him and that we cannot provide in us what we need, that He has to do that work in us. And we decide whether we believe that, whether it becomes real for us, whether it means anything, or whether it's just some words spoken, whether we are just going to be religious folks, church folks, or whether we will be men and women of God. You see, He does that work, but He waits for you to decide whether you want that work done. One of the greatest dangers in life, especially in our type of backgrounds as Christians, say, I grew up where, man, people went to the altar. I mean, they went to the altar. The preacher was preaching, they go to the altar. The singers were singing, they go to the altar. They'd pray, and they'd call out to God. And some people get the idea that merely going to the altar is all there is about Christianity. I got saved. And folks, let's not demean that part. That is a very important piece. You must come to Christ, whether it's a physical altar in a building like this, or the altar of your bed or your couch or wherever it might be. You must come to Christ and you must call out to Him and you must ask Him forgiveness. But oh, that's merely the beginning, the first steps. That's where you start at with Him. It's not the end of everything, but it's the beginning of everything. Have you ever noticed the newborn babies? When you have your baby parents, that is not the end. You know that, don't you? You don't just have the baby and get together and say, oh, honey, I'm so glad we got all that over with. 9 months of waiting for that baby to come. You going through all the labor and everything. The sweating and the crying and the screaming and the moaning and groaning. And boy, I'm glad it's over now. When you leave the hospital, they will make you take that baby with you. You don't leave it. And you go home And those of you that never had babies, somebody was saying the other night, said they had their first child and they thought, what am I supposed to do with this? And some of you, maybe you took care of kids while you babysat and all those things. But man, oh man, at 3 o'clock in the morning. And if you have a colicky baby, one of those kids that starts crying at birth and doesn't stop till they're about 2 years old, you're saying to yourself, why did I do this? You see, it's not the end. It's the beginning. And in your Christian life, the altar is not the end, but rather it's the beginning. And you'll make choices all through your Christian life about whether you'll be a man or woman that God would have you to be. About whether you will have life or death, good or evil. You will decide. You will decide. Listen again to how the writer says this in Deuteronomy. See, I've set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passeth over Jordan to go to possess it. This is not a decision about where they would go, but it is a decision about what they would be. You decide what you will be. Now also, I'd like to talk to you about deciding what this congregation will be. It may not be something you want to think about, but you need to know that you'll make a decision about what this congregation will be in the years to come. I know that there's a great concern about what the future will be for you. You're wondering what's going to happen here. What will the ministry be like in 1 year, and 5 years, or 10 years possibly? And you need to know that you will decide that. I understand that the church belongs to God, but he allows his people to make decisions. And so you will decide what this congregation will be. Oh yeah, it's not the person that stands in the pulpit necessarily. It's not all the other leaders, but it's every man and every woman that attends this congregation. I know that Jesus is the head of the church. And I know that he owns this congregation and that he owns the church collectively. But know this for certain. He is allowing you to decide the future of this congregation. Notice what he did with Israel. They were his people. He had brought them out of slavery. He had given them water to drink and food to eat and protection from their enemy for 40 years in the wilderness. They had everything they needed. They had everything that was needed for their lives and for their families and for their relationship with him. Yet this is what God says to them in verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. They had to choose. They had to choose. God lays it before them. And we must all choose whether we'll fulfill the will of God in our lives. Men and women here today, those of you that love Jesus, you will decide whether the will of God will be done in your life. Now, I want you to note, he refers to them, he refers to them looking at the word of God, what God has spoken. Listen again, verse 20. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. Obey his voice. Congregation, except you obey the voice of God, you will never have what God wants for you. Now that's true individually. We've already looked at that. It's true collectively as a congregation. Oh yeah. You decide. You decide. You make up your mind what this congregation is going to be. Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been around too long not to have realized that oftentimes in the life of a congregation, people will come and go. I know that. Again, our society has changed so much. Years ago, 40, 50, 60 years ago, if somebody was a Methodist in Cincinnati, they would be a Methodist in Kansas City. If somebody was a Baptist in Atlanta, Georgia, they would be a Baptist in Anchorage, Alaska. If they were Church of God in Anderson, Indiana, they would be Church of God in Greenville, Tennessee. Today, most people don't care. You say to them, why did you leave the Church of God? And they say, well, you know, they had great music over there. Oh. I was, years ago, we had I was pastoring, our congregation was so small. We had about 50 or 60 people. And this fella came on Sunday night. You know, Sunday night, you don't have 50 or 60. You had about 20. And so anybody that came on Sunday night, you knew they were there. You could see them. You know, you can sneak in here sometimes. I might not know it, especially if you get in a clump. You know, there's clumps of you every now and then. There's open space, but there's clumps. And you get in a clump, and I don't always see you, especially with the lights and everything. But, man, I didn't miss this guy. He and his wife. And I was rather naive at that time. And I invited, we started talking to him. He said, well, I'm a minister. I'm wanting to become a minister in the Church of God. And I wanted to meet the different ministers around the area. I said, oh, that's great. And I thought, well, Ruth, we had some bologna at the house. And I said, would you come over to the house? We'll have some bologna sandwiches or something. And he said, yeah. And we had bologna sandwiches. We got there and we were talking. And my naivety, I said, tell me, why did you come to the Church of God? He'd come from a different background. I said, why did you come to the Church of God? He said, my wife and I got a divorce and they wouldn't let me preach over there. And I thought, that's why you went to the Church of God? I thought he'd say, man, I was reading the Bible and I saw truth. Oh, I saw the truth of the church and I saw the truth about who the church was and I understood that church membership wasn't right and I understood and I was getting ready to shout, you know, oh boy, he saw truth. He didn't see truth. He just wanted some place to preach. Friend, when you go to that other location and they teach your children once in grace, always in grace, And you know that's not true. Are you happy? Oh, they've got good music. Really? Really? You decide what you and your seed will receive. You decide. Oh, yeah. You decide. Well, let me go on a little bit more in this same vein. And you decide about the future or what the future will be. See, the decision that the people made in the book of Deuteronomy about serving God determined their future. God had a plan for them. It was just a question of whether they would be obedient to God so they could receive His will. Now, that's true for this congregation as well. If you're wondering about what the future will be, the answer lies in whether you decide to obey the voice, obey His voice, and to hold unto Him because He is your life. See, I thought Christianity, I thought salvation was supposed to be about a person so loving God that everything else became secondary. Guys and gals, I've seen guys come into the life of the church. The girlfriend that they're chasing goes to church. They'll go to church and they'll be there X amount of period of time. After they get married, about a year or so later, all of a sudden, they're no longer there. And you're stuck. You're stuck for 40 more years with an unbelieving husband who resents everything you do for God. Or maybe it's an unbelieving wife. Wouldn't it be great if people really loved Jesus? Really loved Jesus. I mean, if they would just so fall in love with Him that they would want His word for their life so they could find out what God wants for them. Wouldn't it be great if they would be able to see the wonders of Christ for their life and it become something that is a true experience of living that affects life itself? Our kids are so great. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm really glad they moved out. But they were great, I'm telling you. But there's times that they'd come in and they'd want to do something and we'd say no. Recently, a couple of them told Ruth, said, "Mom, we used to think that our friends' parents were so cool. They'd let their kids go to certain places and do certain things. And they could... Some of the parents bought alcohol for them to drink, and it was so wonderful. I mean, they had cool parents. And as our kids got older, they came and said, you know, we're the ones that had the best parents, the best family. Actually, they were talking to their mother, not to me. But, folks, you decide what your future will be. You decide what it's going to be like for you and your kids and this congregation. Some of you may be wondering here about a particular ministry in the life of the church. Oftentimes, now you see, folks, there's so many pieces to what happens in a congregation. And most people don't grasp the pieces, and that's okay. That's pretty normal. But when somebody comes and says, you know, Pastor, I think we ought to have fill in the blank ministry. I go, really? And what they're really saying is, you know, Pastor, I think you ought to do this. And after a while, there's only so much you can do. Isn't it amazing that if you really believe that God wanted a ministry to take place in this congregation, that you're not the one leading it? You said you thought the Lord wanted it. Then why aren't you doing it? You say, well, wait a minute. I don't know if I really want to do that. Firstly, I don't want to meet the expectations that leaders have. Leaders have expectations. Well, Jesus just didn't go down the road and pick everybody, did he? Oh, you there. Oh, yeah, you. Yeah. I need 12 disciples. You come on with me. No, he picked certain ones. You know, he had more than 12 to choose from. You understand that? And there were reasons he picked who he picked. So some of you are saying in your mind, possibly, wonder what's going to happen to Wednesday night ministry? The children, you know. The children, we need such a... The children's ministry is so important. We absolutely need that. And, you know, I'm just not for sure what's going to happen in the future. Well, folks, if you really believe that we should have a children's ministry, then why aren't you doing it? I know. You don't have enough time. Let's see. Now, what do you have time for? Well, you got time for work, which is pretty normal. Vacations. Sports. TV. What do you have time for? God wants this done. You know he does. You're not going to do it? Because you don't have the time? I got it. Well, you decide what's going to happen with it. Folks, you will. Some of you may be wondering about the nursery. And I know. You've already had your kids. And you don't want to sit back there with those rotten no goods. I got it. You wouldn't mind signing up if you just could skip when your turn came. Yeah, you know, the person that's in charge, they go and take your place. I really get it. But you really believe that God wants a nursery, right? Well, yeah. Really. And you're not going to do it? Well, you decide. You decide. What about the choir? I was thinking this morning as I looked across the choir, I thought, man, how many people in the 13 years I've been here, how many people that used to be there are no longer there? Death, age, different things that keep them from being able to do it. How many people? But then I thought, how many people that sit out here have a voice that God would like to use for his glory? You know, you have to practice. Why do you have to practice a song? Just give it to me, I'll sing it. Yeah. 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 Well, you decide whether we're going to have a choir. Go ahead. Make up your mind. Yeah. All we need is a few more of them to die. It's getting to be a pretty young choir now. I look across there and there's some, I think I see some 30-somethings maybe, and 20-somethings. I know we got one 20-something. And every now and then we'll have a teenager in there, and then 40-somethings. And some of you that were 30-somethings are now 50-somethings. And so, yeah, breathe hard, Kim. Yeah. And, Yeah, but you just decide. Yeah, you decide. Whether you're going to sit back and you have that talent and you refuse to use it for God because, you know, it's just too much. You decide. You decide. Well, we go through the same process for everything that's going on in the life of the church. What's the future of this congregation? It's up to you. You decide. Moses spoke to Israel and he gave them what God said. They had to decide what they would be. They could be alive or dead. They could be good or evil. It's up to you what you will be. Whether you'll serve God or not, it's up to you what this congregation will be. Whether it will be what God would have it to be or not, it's up to you to decide what the future will look like. You decide. Remember what Joshua said. It never seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You decide. Father, in the name of Jesus, every person here will decide whether they're going to serve you or not. Not a person here can get away from that decision. They will decide whether they will be forgiven or not, whether they will be good or whether they will be evil, whether they will have life or whether they will have death. They will decide whether their seed will multiply or not. They will decide what this congregation will be like. They will decide what the future holds for them and for this congregation collectively. Oh God, help us each one to look at ourselves and help make that decision. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?